This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Andrea Gallo, who just authored an article called You Blew It, DCFS to Blame for Louisiana Teens Botched Adoption, Potential Mom Says. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's certainly a pleasure. I just wanted, for the sake of everyone knowing, I know a little bit about adoptions because I am the father of adopted children. And when I read your story from an adoptive parent and being a prospective adoptive parent twice, it was really heart-wrenching, the story that you tell about Angel, not to mention the child itself, herself. I had kind of chills going down my spine, some of it anger and some of it shock and just raw emotion.
Sure. It's a really upsetting tale of what happened. This is a 16-year-old who's been in foster care since she was 10 years old. She's currently living in a group home, which is less than ideal circumstances. This was the first person who had ever really inquired about adopting her. And yet the whole thing fell apart. And, I think everybody involved is upset about the outcome.
So it seems to me, the sense that I got is that some of these folks involved in this process, although maybe well-intentioned, but fall prey to the path of least resistance. Did you get that sense?
Well, I think that everybody comes at this with a different perspective, but you know, the biggest concern of this prospective adoptive mother was just being able to review the medical records of this teenager before potentially taking her into her home. You know, she wanted to make sure that she was prepared for whatever sort of diagnoses the teen might have. And DCFS refused to let her do that. They would not give her those medical records. And whenever I asked them if they could point to a policy or anything in their handbook that would explain why they wouldn't give that information, they did not answer that question, nor did they answer any questions for the story. So we're kind of left guessing why they made the decisions that they made.
But it was evident that they really, in some respect, were not working in the best interests of the child in fully exploring the possibility of this potential adoption, right?
I think that probably depends on who you talk to, but the prospective adoptive mother certainly has that view. And I think it's important to point out as well that most children in foster care if their parental rights have been terminated and if there's no hope of reconciliation with their own families, their sort of goal in foster care is to be adopted by another family. And after this whole ordeal fell apart, this particular teenager's goal was changed to permanent foster care. So it doesn't seem like the state made a lot of effort at the beginning to try to find a prospective adoptive family for her. Whenever one appeared, the whole thing, you know, went sideways. And now the state no longer has to make any sort of efforts to find a family for her because her goal is no longer adoption.
Obviously, a prospective adoptive parent or parents have a desire to understand the breadth and depth and level of trauma that a kid has experienced, especially in the foster care program. As one of the experts that you talked to mentioned, that this child had been uprooted 12 different times in foster care. And obviously, the science shows that and the mental health science shows that this is a significant amount of trauma for a young kid. You would think that experts in the field would recognize that and possibly have an intermediary, a curator, or someone to manage the back and forth flow of information relative to this. The child was 16 years old. The child, I mean, could be held accountable for all kinds of things under the criminal code in the state of Louisiana, but it's almost as if they have these absolutes that until the child reaches a certain age, they're not able to waive some of those provisions, which just seems a little archaic to me in many respects.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that we hear often about children in foster care is that they are essentially voiceless. They lack agency over themselves and their own lives. And I think that's a good example of this. Every child in foster care is supposed to have a lawyer who handles their case. But in this particular case, where a lawyer could have been extremely helpful and intervened and tried to pry open some of these records, the state's children's ombudsman, Kathleen Ritchie, said she could never reach the lawyer for this teenager. I personally could never reach the lawyer for the teenager either. So that's a concern. Also, like you were saying, she's 16 years old, and at 16, the lawyers who I spoke to for the story said that she should have some ability to say who she wants to share her medical records with, but it doesn't necessarily seem like that happened in this case. And one other concern with the medical records of a lot of teens in foster care is just that they get uprooted so much, they go through so much trauma, and they're evaluated by so many different providers that they're often filled with any number of diagnoses that turn out not to be accurate, especially once they are eventually in a more stable or loving environment. You know, some of it is just environmental and them doing what they need to do to survive in those circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about someone 16 years old being uprooted 12 times, you know, one thing about child rearing is you try to establish consistencies, right? I mean, obviously there were none here. There's no telling what story that child told at one point in time versus another, based on the quality of care, based on whether or not there was a loving atmosphere, a caring atmosphere. We all know, and you guys have written many times about some of the horrific stories that have that we've seen in foster care over the years. And as one of the folks that you interviewed for this story, Jennifer Rodriguez, who herself is involved in works in this system, not inside but outside, she was a foster teen herself. So she knows firsthand what actually goes on there, right?
Yeah, Jennifer is particularly interesting because she can speak on this from firsthand experience. She was in foster care most of her life. She cycled through group homes and juvenile justice centers and all sorts of places. And she had a lot of interesting things to say about, you know, just how detrimental it is to a teenager every time you are disrupting any sort of placement they've had, any sort of bond or attachment that they've formed. And Jennifer also kind of explained to me just how difficult life can be when you're living in a group home. She said, for example, that if she wanted to go to a 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee on the weekend, she would have to put in an outing request a week ahead of time to do something like that. You know, normal teenagers have the ability to kind of go places, see their friends, have a little bit of freedom and independence. And that's something that teenagers in group homes often don't have. And Jennifer also had been diagnosed with any sort of all kinds of psychiatric diagnoses when she was a teenager in foster care. And whenever she got older and aged out of the system, she told me she could no longer afford her medications. So she got off of all of them and suddenly realized that she felt so much better and she didn't actually need any of them to begin with. So I think that she kind of can really represent the tale of some of the perils of foster care, especially group homes for teenagers. But the good news is that she came out on the other side and she's doing great. And she now leads an advocacy group to help these sort of teenagers. And so hopefully we'll see the same for teenagers in foster care in Louisiana.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the heart-wrenching part of the story, Andrea, was, Angel, the prospective adoptive mother, having visited with the child. They seem to have connected on so many different fronts, stayed in contact with them, all the while trying to work through this lengthy process with a lot of high hurdles to get over. And in the end, it seems as though, and I don't know whose side of this story is true, someone ultimately articulate or communicates with the child that Angel said some not nice things about the prospective adoptive child. And Angel says that's not true. She would never do that. And as you know, as I was reading what you wrote about your interviews with Angel, I had the feeling I didn't get that sense. I mean, she's still trying to stay in contact with her and still wants to provide something somewhere, somehow. And now it's just all ended. And, I mean, it's just tragic. Separate and apart from the adoption, I think Angel would have stayed involved in her life in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's evident to me, having talked to her quite a bit over the course of the past several weeks reporting this story, that she cares very, very deeply about this teenager. She really, you know, she thinks about her constantly, despite all of this kind of happening about a year ago at this point. She, you know, talks about different schools that she could go to in the Hudson Valley and friends that she would want to introduce to her up there. And, you know, she made a lot of effort to try to reach family members of this teenager, in Louisiana in hopes of her having some semblance of family connection down here. She really, really, you know, thinks a lot about the teen. And, you know, this certainly is not the outcome that she would have wanted. And I think she still has some hope, though maybe not a lot of it, that one day the two of them will be able to have a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem to me, as I think back as an adoptive parent, she did all of the things that you would do in the due diligence to make sure that you're able to deliver what you're supposed to deliver, right? I mean, what you're supposed to do. And whether sometimes there could be challenges that you're unaware of. As long as you're aware of it and you self-reflect and decide one way or another whether or not you're the one that can be there for that child. It's just, and you know, and I think one of the last communications that Angel had with her is she wrote, "You and I are both victims of a crappy system." And I don't know that based on your story, I don't know that I couldn't have said it any better. Your thoughts?
Right. I think that the point that you make about trying to have as much information on the front end going in is a really important one, because this is something that we try to talk to experts and lawyers who work on adoptions about. And there are some really horrible, tragic stories about what happens with families who do adopt a child without necessarily knowing what they've been through. Kathleen Ritchie, who I mentioned earlier, is the children's ombudsman. Mm-hmm. She was a juvenile court judge in Baton Rouge for a very long time, and she remembered seeing cases on the bench where families would adopt a child and then essentially return them to custody of the state, not because they didn't love them or, you know, they developed problems, but because once they adopted them, these families were shocked by the amount of trauma that these children had gone through, the amount of behaviors and acting out that led to, and they felt totally unequipped to handle them and take care of them. So, you know, I think a lot of people would argue that you need to know what you're getting into, eyes wide open, whenever you adopt a child. And like you're saying, that can help prepare you to take care of them and to get them whatever sort of help they might need.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, ours were at birth, so it was very different. But having worked in that process and my wife as a lawyer, having handled adoptions for 20-30 years, you hear these stories and you understand the nuances. And it just seemed here that we were almost devoid of understanding the nuances. And it should be the folks that have this institutional experience should know better. It just seemed like, you know, wasn't that important. And it's a shame. I hope I'm not mischaracterizing this, but it's what it felt like. I don't know. And I don't know where we go from here. I mean, hopefully there's a lesson learned from here and the system can be improved.
And I think particularly for this teenager who is now, you know, very close to aging out of the foster mm-hmm. care system, yeah, it's especially concerning that we hope she will find a sort of landing pad once she's on her own. But yeah, it's definitely tragic and heartbreaking.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this story with us, Andrea Gallo, a writer for The Advocate. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.